sound check. I listen every day.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The Brazilian music world has been in the news for the last week or so, but for all the wrong reasons. You've probably heard about the deadly fire that broke out at a concert in the southern Brazilian city of Santa Maria. It killed more than 230 people. The investigation into that fire is ongoing and has led to intense scrutiny of safety conditions in venues throughout that region, and that will likely have an impact on the upcoming carnival season. Now, this might be a good time to remember that a lot of Brazil's music doesn't happen in concert halls and nightclubs. In fact, there's an old tradition known as choro, which is actually played on the streets of Brazil's big cities. That's flutist Mimi Stillman. She'll play some of this Brazilian street music for us here in the studio. And while she's here, we're going to give her a pop quiz on the history of the flute in rock music. Turns out there's more to it than Jethro Tull. But as long as we have Brazil on our minds, let's take a look at the huge metropolis of São Paulo. With 20 million people living there, São Paulo is Brazil's biggest city, and the vibrant independent music scene there recently caught the attention of two radio producers and occasional WNYC contributors, Marlon Bishop and Julia Furlan. They joined us last week, and the plan was to talk about the hour-long documentary they produced for the program Afropop Worldwide, but then the nightclub fire happened, and it seemed insensitive to air the conversation then. So we'll hear it now. I asked Julia, who was born in São Paulo, about the people of the city.
There was a huge immigration boom in the beginning of the 20th century that brought immigrants from Italy and Lebanon and Syria. So there are all kinds of huge, you know, immigrant populations that are now, you know, all over. And it's actually the largest Japanese population outside of Japan as well. So that is actually really reflected in the music scene. There are not only rhythms from all over the world, but also all over Brazil that have come to São Paulo because that has been the capital of industry and business and where people can get jobs.
So, Marlon, when you and Julia did this documentary for Afropop Worldwide, which is called, by the way, The Soul of São Paulo, Rock, Rap, and Future Music from the Endless City, what were you, I mean, was it your first thought to go to São Paulo out of all the cities in Brazil?
Well, I was actually living and researching in Rio for a couple months on a two-part documentary about samba history. And basically, you know, Rio and São Paulo are the most well-known cities in Brazil. They're 6 hours apart, more or less, driving. And Rio is the former capital of the Brazilian Empire, later the former capital of Brazil until the 50s, and the home of some of Brazil's best-loved genres like samba, choro. And I had been finishing that project, and then I was asking people, I kind of want to do another show about the new youth music scene. And I was asking people, like, what's going on here? And everyone's like, you got to go to São Paulo. It's all left Rio. Rio is kind of the traditional capital of the music industry as well. It's where the soap operas are located. It's where the a lot of the multinational record labels. It's where TV Globo, which is a big multinational.
The ones who do all the telenovelas.
Yeah, they do a lot of the novellas. They're like the biggest entertainment conglomerate.
Right. And wasn't Antonio Carlos Jobim based in Rio as
well? Yeah, so Bossa Nova also is very, very associated with the beaches of Rio and the swooping, majestic hills of Rio.
So you wanted the younger, the more independent music scene, and everyone kept saying, you got to go to São Paulo.
Yeah, that exists in São Paulo, and it's the kind of place now where everybody all over Brazil, no matter what city you're from, if you're young and you want to be a musician, you go to São Paulo. It's a lot kind of like what's happened in Brooklyn in the U.S.
Okay. So, Julia, when you went looking for artists, were there some names that would already have gained some currency on the international music scene?
You know, for the most part, there were a couple of artists that we ended up talking to and profiling in our story that we knew about. Criollo is like the big name. He played at Summer Stage in 2012, and he also his song was everywhere, right, Marlon? We couldn't walk down the street without the song that he wrote called Não Existe Amor em SP, which means There Is No Love in São Paulo. We could not escape that song. It was absolutely everywhere. But for the most part, these people that we discovered were, you know, I didn't know about them. Malu Magalhães was another one that we heard about, that she also played at Summer Stage, but and had, you know, played around the world. But for the most part, the people we interviewed were just, you know, becoming something.
They
in
were
Brazil.
The indie scene.
Yeah,
of
yeah,
Brazil.
And not necessarily indie music as we think of it in the
right,
US, but like independent music.
Yes. So you mentioned Malu Magalhães.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear a little bit. So you were. You knew her before you
Yeah,
went
yeah,
there.
I'd heard of her. I'd heard of her because she's so interesting. She was 15, right? And she was going to turn 15, and instead of asking for presents for her 15th birthday, she asked for money from her parents. And
nice.
She used that money to produce three tracks in a studio in São Paulo, uploaded them onto her MySpace page, and made it big. I mean, she created...
was this?
This was in 2009, I believe.
When MySpace was still the place where...
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And this song, Sambinha Bom, is this one of those original or
no,
is this more recent?
This is from her new album, which is called Pitanga, which is a Brazilian fruit tree. And she... this is one of the songs that I really like from her album because it's got a little bit of that, like, MPB vibe, like Marisa Monte. Or...
MPB being Brazilian pop.
yeah, Música Popular Brasileira, Brazilian popular music.
Right.
And so she's got a little bit of that. She would be what I would say is the new version of MPB, like an artist that's young and new, but very much being pushed by the real muscle
so
of the
groomed
Brazilian
music. For wider success.
Certainly,
Not just the indie scene. This is Malu Magalhães.
Sambinha bom é esse que te traz de volta. Quer só tocar que logo você quer voltar. Meu coração já cansou de tanto choro derramar e pede volta pra gente dançar. Sambinha bom é esse que tem pouca nota. Quer só tocar que logo você quer cantar. Meu coração já cansou de tanto choro derramar. Implora volta pra gente samba.
The song is called Sambinha Bom by the Brazilian artist Malu Magalhães from São Paulo, where the emerging music scene is. We're speaking with Marlon Bishop and Julia Furlan about the independent music scene in the city of São Paulo. They recently co-produced an hour-long documentary for the radio show Afropop Worldwide, and you can find a link to it on soundcheck.org. Now, Marlon, Julia was mentioning this guy, Criollo, and how when you guys were down there in São Paulo, this song was everywhere.
Yeah. So Criollo, it was kind of perhaps one of the most important artists to emerge out of this whole independent scene that really brought together people from all walks of life. He's been hustling in the hip-hop world for decades. You know, and São Paulo, one thing to note is that São Paulo has one of the biggest hip-hop scenes in the world. Mm. It's huge, and it's actually...
Well, when you have 20 million people, you're going to have the biggest everything, it seems.
It's true, but the hip-hop scene has this kind of special thing going on with it in that it's like people in Brazil think of hip hop as their own in a big way, and specifically Sao Paulo, because in the vast urban periphery of Sao Paulo, an area that's known in Portuguese as the periferia, which is, you know, working class favelas and neighborhoods, you know, a lot of the music that's popular elsewhere in Brazil is not as popular, and hip hop is huge since the 80s. And Criollo, you know, traditionally it's like a very politically active, you know, very strong political kind of overtones to rap music in
Brazil. So what we would call conscious or socially conscious rap.
Very socially conscious, but also very kind of raw and, you know, no punches held or whatever. And Criollo is one of these artists. He comes from this very, like, social consciousness place. And he put out this album in 2011 called No da Aurelia, which is not in the ear. What it means, and it's this. It was this kind of breakthrough album because he mixed hip hop with Afrobeat and cumbia, and
cumbia being South American rhythm. Yeah. You hear it in Colombian music,
exactly, and jazz and trip hop, like all sorts of different genres, kind of came together. And this one song is not a rap song at all. It's called "Não Existe Amor em SP," which means "Love doesn't exist in Sao Paulo."
No. Existe amor em SP, um labirinto místico, onde os grafites gritam, não dá pra descrever, numa linda frase, de um postal tão doce, cuidado com doce, São Paulo é um buquê. São flores mortas num lindo arranjo, arranjo lindo feito pra você. Não existe amor em SP. Os bares estão cheios de almas tão vazias. A ganância vibra, a vaidade excita. Devolva minha vida e morra afogada em seu próprio mar de fel. Aqui ninguém vai pro céu.
You know, what's interesting about that song, John, is that he is describing São Paulo in this incredibly sort of bleak way. He says that the bars are filled with empty souls, and he says that he describes the city covered in graffiti, which it is, and the graffiti is phenomenal. But that song somehow became an anthem for something larger, and really, as Marlon was saying, really unified different kinds of people.
We're looking at the independent music scene in the huge Brazilian city of São Paulo with Marlon Bishop and Julia Furlan, who co-produced the hour-long documentary on São Paulo for Afropop Worldwide, the nationally distributed radio program. In the wake of that Santa Maria club, you know, that horrific fire, Julia, you said before that that's a club that, you know, it's a big space, seats like 1,000 people. I mean, what's the club scene like in São Paulo with all these younger emerging artists? Where do they play?
There is this thing called the SESC. You know, Marlon knows a little bit more about how the SESC is funded. SESC is basically a privately funded public sort of institution, Marlon?
Yeah, the SESCs are these, it's a publicly funded private nonprofit string of cultural centers throughout Brazil. It's actually kind of amazing from an American perspective to hear about this because there's a 1.6% payroll tax that all Brazilians pay that goes directly to these cultural centers that fund art, music, events, theater, all sorts of cultural stuff, basically.
So if you're in like one of the famous samba schools, are those part of this system as well?
Yeah, I think it's all sorts of, like, basically from traditional to cutting edge to classical, every kind of culture is there.
And Petrobras, for example, the Brazilian gas company, funds all kinds of things, movies, dance, theater, all over Brazil. And the SESCs are these, you know, basically these theaters where people can go and play the prices to get in are relatively cheap, so mm-hmm. it's very open. It's very open to all kinds of Brazilians all over.
One of the artists that Julia was going to talk about, Lulina, her most recent project was funded by Petrobras.
Yeah, she has this really neat project where it's basically like a remix project where they're making LPs and like fans come in and I don't really, it was sort of hard to figure out how it works exactly, but like there are these stations where people can come in and listen to the LP with the artist, and the LPs are, or the songs are also available for digital download to encourage remixing.
You can download like the tracks,
exactly,
the stems.
Exactly. You can download the track so you can make your own remixes, and that is funded by Petrobras. So that's, you know, that's huge for her. Lulina is completely wonderful and out there.
Well, this song by Lulina is called Balada do Paulista. Now, I don't speak Portuguese, but even I think I can make my way through this one, the ballad of the people of São Paulo.
Exactly, because she is from Olinda in Pernambuco in the Northeast.
She
came to São Paulo. This song is making fun of the way Paulistas talk because they have a very particular slang. And so the chorus of the song, and basically the whole song is about puta meu tipo nossa cara, which is like we call it language vices or language addictions, like as if we're saying like.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay, so like all those verbal tics.
The verbal tics of Paulistas. So it's really funny.
The song is from the artist known as Lulina. The Brazilian singer Lulina and her Balada do Paulista. She's a part of the emerging music scene in São Paulo, which we're talking about today on Soundcheck with Marlon Bishop and Julia Furlan, who did an hour-long documentary for the radio show Afropop Worldwide on the São Paulo scene. And Marlon, to come back to where the scene sort of is centered, Williamsburg and Brooklyn, Silver Lake in L.A., Berlin, you know, there are certain clubs, there are certain kind of nexus points for all of those communities. Is there a place like that in São Paulo?
Absolutely. In São Paulo, the neighborhood is called Vila Madalena, which is definitely the Williamsburg of Brazil in a lot of ways, not even just of São Paulo. It's this very vibrant neighborhood, also full of graffiti on all the walls, little bars everywhere, little clubs. A lot of the artists we interviewed lived there. Mm-hmm. And São Paulo kind of has this vibe of like little villages kind of within a city because it's so confusing to get around that people don't even leave their neighborhood because they, like, it's actually funny, but like GPS has changed life there because it means that people can find things on other parts of the city. But you have this kind of like every neighborhood is its own kind of town in its own way. And we went to a club, speaking of clubs, one of the most interesting experiences we had reporting this story was going to this place called Casa do Mancha, which was kind of like an underground DIY space within Vila Madalena. And it's this kind of like secret bunker kind of behind walls. It was just this guy's house, and he opened it up to basically throw shows in his living room. And it became this real like nexus, this real center of the indie scene in São Paulo. And all the artists we spoke to had played there, go there to hang out. And we actually saw Lulina the night we were there. And in this tiny club, this artist that's not known on a national scale at all, every single person in the room was singing her lyrics back to her.
So, one of the guys there called it the Consulate of Williamsburg in São Paulo. Yeah, yeah.
And another band that plays there a lot is this band called Holger, which I wanted to bring up. Holger was this indie band that started out kind of copying kind of a Vampire Weekend sound a little bit, and they were singing in English. The members of the band grew up in Sao Paulo, admittedly listening to no Brazilian music and just the Flaming Lips, basically, which is not untypical amongst the kind of upper class in Brazil. And what was really interesting is that they kind of went through this transformation where they discovered Brazilian music late in life and not really bossa nova or MPB or the classic, you know, much-loved Brazilian music.
If they grew up on Vampire Weekend, how much later in life can they be?
No, they grew up on, like, television and Flaming Lips.
Yeah, and then they're young. I think they're 26 or so. But okay. It was around, like, the last couple of years, basically, you know, where they started looking into these pop music styles that are really looked down on by the kind of, like, critical, you know, establishment in Brazil. Sounds like axé, which is a pop music style from the north of Brazil, from Salvador. Tecnobrego, which is this kind of, which literally means techno-cheesy. It's a kind of electronic music from the Amazon, from the Belém, the city in the Amazon. And they started taking these genres and applying it to a rock quintet sound. And so they ended up with this real interesting hybrid sound where they're taking kind of like Brazilian pop rhythms and ideas and like putting it through this cosmopolitan indie international filter.
And the band's called Holger. Let's hear an excerpt. The song's called Treta. That is the band Holger from São Paulo, Brazil, in a song called Treta, sung in English. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the independent music scene in the vibrant city of São Paulo, Brazil. As we mentioned at the top of the show, we're hearing a bit about Brazil in the wake of that awful tragedy in the nightclub in the southern city of Santa Maria. We're speaking with Marlon Bishop and Julia Furlan, who recently co-produced this hour-long documentary called The Soul of São Paulo, Rock, Rap, and Future Music from the Endless City. What's the Endless City?
Well, the idea of the Endless City is the classic picture of São Paulo, which is taken from one of the rooftops of the city's many high-rises. And you go to one of these rooftops, and you just see an endless sea of 30-story high-rises stretching into infinity, into the horizon. And
that is my image of São Paulo.
Absolutely.
It's a helicopter, a helicopter shot of one huge high-rise just going on and on.
When you're arriving in São Paulo at the airport, it's like 15 minutes of skyscrapers before you even land. It's crazy.
Well, where are you going to put 20 million people? You put them in skyscrapers.
On top of each other.
Yeah. And there's helicopter traffic for people who have enough money to avoid the streets. There's helipads on a lot of luxury high-rises for people who actually want to travel by air.
Well, Marlon, you know, talking about languages that people choose to sing in, you know, whether you sing in Portuguese or in English or, you know, something, will say one thing about where you're aiming your music. But there are also bands who choose to go the instrumental route, which says something else about where they're aiming, right?
Yeah, well, there's kind of like a real actual instrumental scene kind of emerging now. Specifically, Afrobeat has kind of taken off in Brazil, which is kind of funny because there's so many Afro-Brazilian styles to draw on. But you have this kind of thing where people are just now discovering Fela Kuti, and that's actually because of internet penetration, you know.
But the great singer and band leader from Nigeria.
Sorry, yes. But in Brazil, they just found out about Afrobeat, you know, in 2006. We interviewed one saxophone player, Thiago França, who said exactly that. You know, we discovered Afrobeat after YouTube. There's this one band called Bexiga 70, which is kind of a play off Fela Kuti's band, the Egypt 80. It means the Bexiga 70, mm-hmm. Bexiga being a neighborhood in Sao Paulo. And it's a big instrumental band with a lot of horn players doing a kind of Latin American meets Brazilian meets Afrobeat instrumental music.
With a lot of dub remixes on their website, so, you know.
So there's a little Caribbean thrown in as
Yeah, exactly. Huh? It's produced by an American guy named Victor Rice.
So we got all the continents covered then.
You know, we're cosmopolitan. What can we say?
So the it looks like Bexiga 70 is pronounced Bexiga 70, and the song is Grito de Paz? Which means
a scream of peace.
A scream of peace. Marlon Bishop and Julia Furlan giving us a whirlwind tour of the independent music scene in the bustling city of São Paulo, Brazil. Marlon, Julia, thank you guys so much.
Oh, thank you so much, John. It was fun.
This is Soundcheck. The group Bexiga 70, just one of the artists you'll find featured in that hour-long Afropop Worldwide documentary that Marlon and Julia produced. It's called The Soul of São Paulo, Rock, Rap, and Future Music from the Endless City. You can find a link to it on our website, soundcheck.org. Up next, an in-studio performance from flutist Mimi Stillman, which includes some Brazilian music, and we'll give her a pop quiz about that unholy combination of flute and rock. Later, a look at some of the great artists playing out in New York with this week's Gig Alerts. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Homer's famous epic poem, The Odyssey, was composed near the end of the 8th century B.C., tells the story of the Greek hero Odysseus and his 10-year journey home after the fall of Troy. But this Odyssey, performed by flutist Mimi Stillman, is not quite so old. Gerald Levinson wrote it in 1973. And many of the pieces on her new album, also called Odyssey, are even newer. In a moment, we'll hear more about her very modern musical Odyssey, but first, a live performance. This is Mimi Stillman with Charles Abramovic at our piano, live in the Soundcheck studio, and a movement of Elements by Mason Bates.
Thank you.
That is music from Mason Bates. It's part of his four-movement suite called Elements, obviously one for each of the four classical elements, earth, air, water, fire. A live performance by flutist Mimi Stillman and Charles Abramovic, who's at our piano, and both making their way to the microphones. Mimi, I would have guessed water. For at least at the beginning, but that is in fact air that we heard from Mason Bates.
Yes, it is. It's the third movement of Mason's kind of through-connected piece on the four elements, I guess also Aristotelian qualities. So I'm so glad you mentioned Homer and the Odyssey for mm-hmm. us today. But yeah, actually what Mason did throughout this piece is kind of weave some of the elements together. So there's watery elements you heard, and then the soaring flute line is an air
and
idea.
And Charlie, there was towards the end of that excerpt, a kind of a rattling percussive thing you were doing at the upper end of the piano. What was that?
Right, those were just high trills in conjunction with the high flute trills.
You almost don't hear a note.
Yeah, when it's that high on the piano, sometimes you get almost a percussive effect.
Yeah. Sure. So now the album is called Odyssey, and like Homer's Odyssey, this, Mimi, is kind of an epic. I mean, it's two full CDs of new music for flute, most of it with piano. Among those pieces, obviously, this work by Mason Bates, who is a guy who's beginning to be known mostly for his electronic music. He actually records and performs as DJ Masonic, in addition to being, you know, a very fine classical composer.
Yes, the piece was born a number of years ago when both of us were on the Young Concert Artists roster. And so Mason was commissioned to write this work for me, and I premiered it in New York and Washington.
Now, you were a super young concert artist. I mean, weren't you the youngest, what was it, the youngest woodwind player to win that competition?
Yes, I was. I was 17 when I won that and got a pretty early start. I was the youngest wind player accepted to Curtis when I was 12 as well.
Mm-hmm. So. And I mean, how does that work? Can you have a normal life as a teenager when you're so precocious professionally?
Well, Curtis has a long history of having a lot of very young students, pianists and violinists and, you know, other strings mostly. And I always felt quite normal. I was having the time of my life there with colleagues and friends many years older. And then I think it's really the music that brings us all together in that nurturing environment.
We're speaking with flutist Mimi Stillman, pianist Charlie Abramovic. The two-CD set, Odyssey, features 11 American premieres for flute and piano, mostly for flute and piano, one or two just for flute. And in the notes, you write that the flute is, quote, the closest instrument to the human voice, unquote. I know lots of cellists and violists who would take issue with that.
Well, I'm sitting here right now, so I will tell you what I think. But no, actually, so many of the ways in which wind players need to breathe and phrase and hold our bodies, the physicality of it, is very similar to singing. And I think we can all try to emulate singers in terms of phrasing. But I learn a lot from, well, pretty much just groping my friends who are singers who I play with.
I'm sorry, what? Groping your friends?
Well, there's a lot of physicality involved. So we might say, take a moment to breathe from the diaphragm and feel your intercostal muscles on your ribs expanding and that kind of thing.
Okay. It is a family show, you know. So just...
if you want to do over.
Now, let me ask you about this next piece, because we've mentioned all these American composers, you know, these American premieres. But this next piece is from Brazil, and it's part of that choro tradition that they have, right?
Yes, I love the genre of choro.
Explain what that is.
Yeah, it's a genre that emerged mostly in the cities of Brazil in the late 19th century and was performed by bands in which the flute was really prominent. And you had great flutist composers like Pixinguinha composing and performing. Saxophone was also in there, different percussions, different guitars.
And there was no singer. So to go back to what you were just saying about the flute being close to the voice, the flutist in these choro bands would often be the kind of the lead singer.
Exactly. And a lot of the music is very singable. A lot of it is quite virtuosic. Charlie and I enjoy this part of the repertoire together because he improvises a lot of the piano parts.
Oh, okay. Do you get a chance to play much of the Brazilian stuff? You've also played with Paquito de Rivera, right?
I have. I love playing Latin music and exploring other world musics like Jewish folk music, Ashkenazic and Sephardic. And I actually grew up speaking Spanish as my first language.
Really?
Even though my family was living in Boston because my parents are foreign language professors and textbook authors. So I feel an affinity for the music of sort of Spanish and I guess Portuguese-speaking America.
Mm-hmm. So now this piece called Aeroporto do Galeano?
Aeroporto do Galeão, airport in Rio, yes.
In Rio, okay. The composer is Altamiro Carrillo. And Charlie, do you know what you're about to do or are you going to be sort of playing it by ear?
I sort of know. I'm having fun slightly improvising as
right.
we go.
All right, let's hear another live performance in the Soundcheck studio. Mimi Stillman playing the flute, Charles Abramovich at our piano, and this a bit of Brazilian music from the composer Altamiro Carrillo. Thank you. That is music from Brazil, from the so-called Choro tradition. Altamiro Carrillo is the composer. Aeroporto de Galeão is the song, an airport in Rio, depicted in music. Mimi Stillman playing the flute, Charles Abramovic at the piano. And in just a moment, we'll call Mimi back to the mic to subject her to something we're calling the Rock Flute Pop Quiz, right after the break.
And phrases and clauses.
Conjunction, junction, how's that function?
We need your help for an upcoming soundcheck segment about Schoolhouse Rock. Remember the old animated series that taught us about conjunctions and legislation and numbers? We want to know, do you still use Schoolhouse Rock in your day-to-day life? Tell us your story by posting a comment at soundcheck.org or leave us a voicemail at 866-939-1612. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This classic from 1977 comes from the Marshall Tucker Band. Heard it in a love song featuring Jerry Eubanks on the flute. Flutist Mimi Stillman is with us. And Mimi, last year, Dan Armenatis, writing for the Spartanburg Herald Journal in South Carolina, asked you about this song. You're a classical flutist. He asked you whether you were familiar with this song.
Yes, we were doing an interview because I was soloing with Spartanburg Philharmonic, and Dan said, we handled all of that part of it, and then Dan said, but Mimi, do you know the Marshall Tucker Band with prominent flute, and it's here from South Carolina? And I had to confess that I hadn't, but I was very happy he introduced me to it.
He said that he sent you the song and that you responded to him, I love it, I should learn to play this. Have you learned to play it?
Not yet. It's kind of in the queue, I think.
All right, so this got us to thinking, what other pop music out there features the flute? Now, this may be your particular cross to bear as a flutist, that anytime you say flute, many people will throw at you the sounds of Jethro Tull. So let me throw at you the sounds of Jethro Tull. So that's a little bit of Cross-Eyed Mary from Jethro Tull's album Aqualung. And so, Mimi, do all flutists of all stripes come in contact with flutist Ian Anderson and his alter ego as Jethro Tull?
I think so. I, for a while, I wrote a column for the British flute magazine Flutewise, and Ian Anderson was also involved with both the magazine and some events working with young British flutists.
Huh.
But, you know, it's interesting hearing that because a lot, I might hear it and say, oh, that's tremolando, too harmonic, oh, that's flutter tongue, oh, that's this. It's a lot of the extended techniques we use in contemporary classical music.
And it, you know, one of the things about Ian Anderson's flute playing is you always hear that that intake of breath. It's like a part of his sound. And you kind of learn to suppress that as a classical flutist, don't you?
Yes. I'm actually glad you asked me about that because we practice very hard to do silent breathing. I've been practicing walking down the street. But there's something really wonderful about occasionally hearing a wind player or a singer take a breath and play because, after all, we're human beings, and mm-hmm. I think that's part of the performance.
All right. Now, that song goes back to 1971. Let's skip ahead to 1982. Listen to this. Familiar with the song, Mimi?
No, I'm not.
Huge hit back in the early 80s for the Australian band Men at Work. It's called Down Under. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this flutist, Greg Hamm, passed away recently in April of this year. What do you make of the flute playing there?
Well, I think the whole piece is really fun. And the flute playing is really nice. I guess I was thinking of sort of an obbligato happening in the texture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. He actually got in a little bit of trouble for that flute playing.
Oh, why?
Because it's apparently the melody that he plays at various parts of the song is a little close to a pretty famous Australian children's melody.
Oh.
Kookaburra Sits in the Old Gum Tree. So, yeah, there was a little bit of to-do about this song. But, you know, one of the most popular bits of flute music of the 1980s. Here in this Australian pop song. All right, now this one is a lot more recent. This is from 2002. So that is the band known as Polyphonic Spree. New to you, Mimi?
It is, I confess.
Okay. 2002 song from them called Soldier Girl. Audrey Easley is the flutist. Probably spent years putting together enough chops to play this music. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to tell me what you think about it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't know it too much whether she would have been a doubler, but often people from the pop world are kind of like people from the jazz worlds, where you might not just be responsible for your instrument, but saxophone and flute and many other winds. And I think that's kind of neat. I always admire that. The biggest difference between classical and jazz or more pop flutist is the embouchure is a lot looser in the non-classical world. What it means is that there's often a lot more air as part of your sound, whereas we go to conservatories to try to get rid of that.
Okay. So what you're saying in a very nice way is as a flutist, some of these people are very good sax players.
Oh, well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, hand me a saxophone. You wouldn't want to hear what comes out. So.
Mimi Stillman is a flutist, and her latest record is a 2-CD set called Odyssey. Mimi, thanks for playing our game.
Thank you. It was a pleasure, John.
This is Soundcheck. Get your calendars out and ready, because I'm about to fill them up. We've got a whole week ahead of us, and that means a whole slew of gigs for you to check out. Every day at soundcheck.org, we profile an artist that's playing in New York and post a free MP3 download from that artist, so you can give it a listen and see what you think. Ready? Here's what we think you might like this week.
Where are you going with your life? What kind of chances will you take? I promise not to let you go astray, and forever we'll be rising.
It's been a while since we heard from R&B and pop singer Alice Smith. Her 2007 debut got her a major label deal, but then that label refused to release her follow-up record. She's now free of her contract and is self-releasing a new set of soul-inspired pop songs. She plays at the Rockwood Music Hall tomorrow night. The band Clogs has spent over a decade creating a lyrical blend of post-rock, new classical, and introspective folk music. Along the way, their violinist, Padma Newsom, has developed into a gifted singer and songwriter as well.
The shadows gone. Time to move. Time to move on. But I'd rather stay. But I'd rather stay.
That's Clogs with Sundown Song. They'll be joining me at Merkin Concert Hall Wednesday night for a New Sounds Live concert in collaboration with the Ecstatic Music Festival. The Brooklyn band Psychic Ills certainly weren't afraid of extended jam sessions on their early records. Their new material, however, is more scaled back. It's gritty rock and roll, like this song, Might Take a While. Psychic Ills plays the Bowery Ballroom on Thursday night. The New Jersey post-punk band Screaming Females had to suspend tour dates last year when frontwoman Marisa Paternoster had some health problems, but now she and the band are back, and Paternoster's distinctive guitar shredding will be a sound for sore ears. They make a comeback of sorts at the Music Hall of Williamsburg on Saturday night. To download these songs and many, many others for free, just click on Gig Alerts at soundcheck.org. That's going to do it for Soundcheck today. Join us tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern at soundcheck.org to stream our live, uncut, uncensored taping with Winter Gordon. She's a New York singer and songwriter who's worked with popular dance pop artists like Flo Rida, David Guetta, and Jennifer Lopez, and she'll bring us some brand new music of her own. And at 9 p.m. tomorrow night, we bring you a slightly cut and slightly censored version of our show with the rapper Heems, formerly of the group Das Racist, and the chef, author, and mega hip-hop fan Eddie Wong. It's a frank and funny conversation about food and race, culture and ethnicity. You won't want to miss it. That's tomorrow at 9. That'll do it for Soundcheck today. I'm John Schaefer.